Would you turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Luke's Gospel, the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Looking at the beginning of the Christmas story. We're going to be reading a very powerful passage today. And we'll start with Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Luke 1, verse 5. And it begins, "In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they both were righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as a priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared.' And Zechariah said to the angel, 'How shall this be? How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years.' And the angel answered him, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time.' And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, 'Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach from among the people.'" Wow. I'm just going to stop right there. What a tremendous account of this priest, Zechariah. Now, Zechariah was a priest, and he was a descendant of the division of Abijah, which is descendants of Aaron, the high priest. And he happened to have a wife, Elizabeth, who was also a descendant of Aaron. So he was well advanced in years, still serving as a priest, because there was no retirement for high priests. There was retirement for the Levites, the Levitical priesthood. They retired at age 50, because the Levites were the ones who were cutting the meat and doing the sacrifices and lifting the hindquarters. And it was work being a priest. When you are sacrificing during celebrations, 1,000 cattle and sheep, that's a lot of work. So they retired at 50 years old, but high priest didn't retire. And so Zechariah was of the lineage of Aaron. And we find here that he was going about a normal day. These were his duties as a priest. He did this all of his life. He was well advanced in years. He would go to the temple, and then priests were chosen to do different sacred tasks, and this was his job. That's what he did. And he had that job by heritage. And he was chosen by lot to enter the temple. Now, that is such an interesting word, because by lot, we don't know exactly how they did that, but like a flip of the coin. We got Zechariah and Joshua. Heads, you're in. Tails, you're not. Okay, Zechariah, you're in. I mean, flip of the coin, or a drawing of the straws. Maybe you draw the long straw, you're in, or a roll of the dice. I mean, this is the ways that they trusted God to make the choice. Now, we would call that what? Luck, chance, something like that. Well, you know, luck and chance are not biblical terms. Neither of those words are in the Bible. You know why? Because God's in charge of those decisions. Think about that. God's in charge of those decisions. Zechariah came in, normal time of life, normal duties, ordinary, and there he was chosen by lot. Leon Morris, in his commentary on this, said something interesting. He says, there were many priests and not enough sacred duties for them all at that time. So lots were cast to see who would perform each function. The offering of incense was regarded as a great privilege. A priest could not offer incense more than once in his entire lifetime. Some of the priests never did receive the privilege. Thus, the time when Zechariah offered the incense was the most important moment in his life. We go through life and there are these important moments, but it's just part of our ordinary duties. And then he goes in to burn the incense, and all of a sudden an angel appears, surprised by God. An angel appears, and Zechariah is fearful. You know why? Because angels don't look like we think they look. Have you ever seen the Renaissance picture of the angel helping the little girl over the bridge, and he's got little pudgy cheeks and little bitty wings on his back? That is not how angels look. Because if the angel looked that way, why would Zechariah fear him? You know, I mean, I'm not going to fear a little pudgy-faced, winged person. No, angels are majestic creatures created by God. Majestic. And so this angel appears and surprises Zechariah. To surprise means, and the reason I use that word, means to strike with wonder or astonishment by something sudden, unexpected, or remarkable. That's exactly what happened to him. Something unexpected, totally unexpected, and remarkable happened to him there. Now we have to understand, it had been 700 years since Isaiah prophesied that a virgin would conceive and give birth to a son, and his name should be Emmanuel. 7 centuries. 7 centuries. Think about that. People living and dying, and children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, and nothing was taking place with regard to that promise. And it had been 400 years since Malachi gave the prophecy that there would be a forerunner of Christ who would come in the spirit of Elijah and turn the hearts of fathers to their children. And this is exactly what the angel told him would happen to his son. So this was the fulfillment of Malachi's prophecy 400 years earlier. You know what that tells us? God works in centuries. How many of us want him to work in days? Lord, where are you? I've been praying for a week. The more we look at Scripture, the more we realize God is an awesome God. He's got a plan that encompasses centuries. Things that we're praying for right now may not happen in our lifetime, but they're still a part of God's plan. You know, for 400 years, there was not a miracle, not a manifestation of God, not a word from God. 400 years when people were just doing what they knew was right to do. And Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were blameless with regard to the law. They were doing what they could do to worship and honor God with their lives. And you'll find in the Christmas story, the people that God used, Zechariah and Elizabeth, Joseph and Mary, Simeon, Anna, every one of them, were serving God as faithfully as they knew how. They were righteous before the Lord and blameless before him, and God revealed himself to them. There's something about obedience that touches the heart of God. In fact, in Acts chapter 5, it says God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. There's something there with God. So nothing had happened in 400 years. So, of course, Zechariah was going in just thinking he's going to burn incense, pray, and he was probably praising God for this time in his life. Then he was going to go on about his duties. In his home life. God has a time for everything he does, right? Ecclesiastes 3, there's a timing for everything under the sun. There's a season for everything. And God's in charge of all of that. And his timing in fulfilling his purposes always surprises us. Always hits us at times when we don't expect it. We expect God to move, but then he moves and we go, what? He moved. There is something about that in God. And we see this throughout the entire Bible. Here you have a guy by the name of Abram. And Abram is living in the Chaldeans' country in a town called Ur. You'll find this in Genesis chapter 12. I'm not making this up. And Abram has a life, and he's got cattle, and he's got servants, and it's just normal life down there. And his whole family worship idols. They're idol worshipers. Says that in Joshua 24, verse 2, if you want to write that down. They were worshiping idols down there. Abram didn't know God. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, one day God speaks to this man. And all we see is one sentence in the Bible, but that experience had to be so overwhelming when God says, Abram, get up, pack your stuff, leave this place, and you start going to a place that I'm going to show you. He didn't even tell him where he was going to go. He says, get up and start moving. And that experience was so dynamic, Abram packed his stuff, moved, started going 1,500 miles. When he gets to Haran, the Bible says he was 75 years old. Why does God wait so long to work in people's lives, you know? I mean, if you were God, wouldn't you have called people in their 20s? You know, in my 20s, I was mountain climbing and cliff climbing. And, you know, to do that now, I'll keep the water down at the bottom for you, you know? I mean, God waits till you're old in age, and then he works. If you were God, would you do it differently than he does it in life? Probably. Right? That's because we're dumb and he's all wise. I mean, he knows what he's doing. There's a way of God. So Abram packs his stuff and God tells him, he says, Abram, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. Those who bless your descendants, I will bless. Those who curse them, I will curse. And Abram's going, what? And then he gets to the land of Canaan. And God says, Abram, look at the stars of the heaven. Count them if you can. So shall your descendants be. Blown away by God, Abram. All from that point on, God began to guide and direct his life. And God told Abram something very specific too. He says, Abram, your descendants will live in slavery for 400 years in the future, but I will deliver them with a mighty hand. Okay? So God already told Abram before anything happened, or before he ever had a child, that God would give him multitude of descendants, and they would live in captivity in a foreign land. Already told him that. You know when that happened? Did it happen in Abram's lifetime? No. In his son's lifetime? No. In his grandson's lifetime? No. In his great-grandson's lifetime? Yes. His great-grandchild, Joseph, went to Egypt. And that's when the children of Israel went to Egypt. And that's where they grew into a mighty nation. And they were in Egypt for 400 years. And then God delivered them just as he said he would. Is our God awesome or what? And then when God is ready to deliver the people of Israel from Egypt, he calls a man. So here is Moses. All right. Moses. I love Moses' story. Moses spent 40 years in Egypt being trained with the Egyptians. Then he fled Egypt. And he lives in Midian, in the desert. When I was in Israel, I got to go to Midian. They think they found Jethro's place where he lived. And I mean, there's not much out there. Not much out there. And what is Moses doing for 40 years in Midian? He's tending sheep. Tending sheep. Anybody here ever been around sheep? Okay, yeah. We had a lot of sheep in southern Colorado. You know, you feed sheep, and then they grow, and you shear sheep. And then you eat sheep, and then they have babies, and you do it all over again. You know, life is very predictable as a sheep herder. And that's what Moses was doing for 40 years. Gets up in the morning, you know, kisses his wife goodbye, hugs the kids, goes out and tends the sheep day after day, year after year, decade after decade. Then one day, he's out there tending the sheep, and a bush catches on fire. No lightning, no kids around. With flint, nothing's happening. And this bush starts to burn, and it's burning, and the flames are there, and it just keeps on burning, and it's not diminishing. And Moses says, I wonder what's going on. That's paraphrased, but that's what he was saying. So he walks up there, And when he gets close, a voice comes out of the burning bush. You talk about surprised by God. A voice comes out of the burning bush and says, Moses, Moses, take off your sandals. The place, the ground you're standing on is holy ground. That was a surprise. And that voice said, I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And it says Moses trembled with fear. Surprise. And God said, I'm using you to deliver my people. And he did that. I love the accounts of Scripture. God loves to surprise. Do you like to surprise anybody? Isn't it fun to surprise people? I mean, don't we get a lot of joy out of that when you give a gift or you do something and they go, oh, I mean, we just love that. And we're made in the image of God. God loves that. He knows that when he's ready to do his will, whatever he does will always take us off guard, will always be astonishing to us. And God does do that. Here you have Peter in the New Testament in Acts 12. And Peter is declaring the gospel of Christ. Jesus has died. He's risen from the dead. Peter has seen him. He knows the words of Christ are true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How did we know that those words were true? Because Jesus rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. Well, Peter is declaring that in the streets. He's telling people about Jesus. He's telling them that now God has made a way to get into heaven. He's telling them about his resurrection. And Herod, a very wicked king at that time, killed James, one of the leaders in the church. And when he saw that the Pharisees loved that, he arrested Peter. And he was going to kill Peter. So he puts him in jail, but it's the Passover, so he doesn't want to offend the Jews by murdering, nice guy, you know, Peter, at that time. So he guards Peter, puts him in prison with four squads of soldiers. A squad was four. So he's got 16 soldiers around him all night. And when Peter's sleeping, he is chained to two of them while he's sleeping. So there's Peter. And it says in Acts chapter 12, the church was earnestly praying for him, for God to protect him and deliver him. The church is praying. So at that night, talk about surprised by God, Peter's sleeping, catching some Z's. All of a sudden, he wakes up. An angel of the Lord is in his cell. And all of a sudden, the chains fall off his arms. And the guards are there, and their eyes are open, and they don't see him. And Peter thinks he's having a vision or something. I'm not making this up. You can read about it. This is not fiction. This is not a Star Wars or anything like that. This is not trick cinematography. This is an account. And the chains fall off of Peter's arms, and the angel says, get up and get dressed. So Peter gets up and gets dressed. The door opens to his cell, and he walks by the guards. They're awake, but they don't see him. And he goes out of the jail, and they get to the city gates, and the city gates are closed with large iron gates. And as he's walking up to the gates, the gate opens by itself. Wow. And Peter walks out into the street, and then the angel leaves him, and he goes, whew, that wasn't a dream. This actually happened. So he finds Mary's house where the church is gathered, earnestly praying for his deliverance. Some of you know this story. And he knocks on the door. Hey, let me in, let me in. And a little servant girl by the name of Rhoda comes and she recognizes Peter's voice. And she runs to the others who are earnestly praying for his deliverance. And they say, Peter's at the door. And what was the response of them, the church? That can't be. You're out of your mind. They tell her she's out of her mind when she says Peter's at the door because they're praying earnestly that God would deliver him, but they didn't think it would happen. Surprise. In fact, they didn't think it would happen to the degree that when Rhoda pushed it and said he is there, they said it must be his angel. Give me a break. They'd rather believe it was his angel than it was Peter himself. But then they went to the door and there's Peter. God loves surprises. Oh, he loves surprises. You ever been surprised by God? You know, you pray and pray and pray, and all of a sudden, oh, it happens. Years ago, on Father's Day, we were in our other church building in the Cooper Creek, and we had worship, great time of worship, and then we spent time in the Word, and at the end of the service, like we do oftentimes, if anybody would like to receive the Lord, you can come and we'll pray for you. And that day, it's Father's Day, and that day when I just had the words out of my mouth, if anybody would like to receive the Lord, we'll pray for you. My son, Michael, 16 years old, stands up, with tears in his eyes. We had been praying for him, praying for him. And all of a sudden, he raises his hand, the only one in the church. You're talking about a tearful time. You're talking about surprise. Man, I couldn't hold it together. You pray and you pray and you pray for your children, and all of a sudden, oh, look what you've done, Lord. Right, Paula? Happened to her, pastor's daughter here. Yeah, God loves to surprise us. And that's what he did with Zechariah. The angel says, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. I'm sure they prayed for children. But you know what? It was past the time of being able to have children, so they probably just quit praying. And God says, no, I'm still working. What this does for us is it encourages us. If you are praying for something and nothing is happening, God is still working. And God has a timing for everything that he does. He's got a timing. Are we okay with that? You know, the more we grow as Christians in maturity, the more we have to be okay with God's timing. Oh, how we wish his timing was our timing, right? How many of you wish God's timing was your timing? Yeah. You know, a lot of people want to serve the Lord. Most want to serve as advisors. You know, they want to give God counsel. Lord, I know exactly what you need to do in this situation, okay? So we'll just do it my way. How many know he doesn't listen to our counsel? No, he doesn't listen to our counsel. And so we cop an attitude. Well, if he's not going to answer my prayer, how can we answer this person's prayer and not my prayer? I know no one here cops an attitude like that. But, well, what about me, God? Well, what about my prayer? What about my needs? We need to grow in our understanding that God is not deaf, but he has a timing in everything that he does. And some of the prayers that we have, God may fulfill in our great-grandchildren. Think about that. In our great-grandchildren. Is it still part of God's awesome plan? Absolutely. We're all parts of his plan. It's an honor to be a small part of God's great plan. Here, Jesus, how many times did Jesus tell the disciples he was going to raise from the dead? At least 6 or 7 times that we have accounted for in his lifetime. I will be crucified, I will die, buried, and I will rise from the dead. He told them that. But after he was crucified and died, they didn't think that was going to happen until they're gathered together and Jesus appears in their midst in bodily form after the resurrection. Surprise. They were so surprised, they were absolutely astonished. In fact, it says they were joyful with fear. You ever been joyful with fear? I don't know if I've ever experienced that. But they were joyful that he was there, but they were fearful that what is going on here. And then Jesus has to tell them, he says, I am not a spirit. Spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. Here, touch my hands. Give me a hug. You know. And then they're still holding back. So what does Jesus say? Do you guys have anything to eat? Think about that. And they have some fish. And so they make some fish for him. And I'm sure that was the most watched meal ever. They were watching him. And he eats that fish. He is alive, his resurrection. And they saw it. And they were astonished. Even though God had promised it, he astonished them in that he did it. This is our God. This is what he does. God calls Mary and Joseph. Oh boy. Here's Joseph and Mary. 2 little Hebrew kids. They're young. And they decide to get married. They're engaged. Joseph is a carpenter, and they've got their plans and have a little nice house, and they're in their community. And all of a sudden, an angel appears to Mary. Boom. Mary, you're favored by God, and you're going to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and the child born in you will be the Son of God. Whoa. Talk about a change of plans. Whoa. All of a sudden, God moves. And from that point on, their lives were not the same. Isn't our God awesome? He's moving all the time. Years ago, there was a gentleman who came to Grand County with his wife for basically 2 purposes, to play golf and to play tennis. But they got involved with a couple in our church, and this couple, the Chadwicks, brought pickleball to Grand County. Anybody ever play pickleball? Oh, it's a fun sport. Pickleball is like tennis on a smaller court with 2 paddles, like very large ping pong paddles, right? And you play pickleball. Well, this couple started playing pickleball with them. How many know God can use pickleball? Yeah. So they start playing pickleball, and the Chadwicks, they get to know him, and they invite him to church. Duncan hadn't been to church I don't know how many years. He was not a believer in God. not a churchgoer at all. But because he liked the Chadwicks, him and his wife, Betty, they said, okay, we'll go to church with you. So he comes to church, and I met him that Sunday, just very briefly, and he left. Came back the next Sunday, they left. Didn't get a chance to talk to him, and I just thought they were just visiting. That week, he comes into my office, and he says, Pastor Doug, and he slams the table, what is going on with me? He says, I come to church, the songs, the message, everything is speaking to my life. It's me. I go out to the car. I want to come back. I go all week. I can't wait to come back. I come back to church. I don't want the service to end. I go to the car. I want to be here. He says, what is happening? Am I having some kind of an awakening or something? Surprised by God. I said, Duncan, God has just opened up your eyes to who he is. He says, what do I do with it? I said, let's surrender your life to the Lord now. And he did. And you know what? Those of us who know Duncan and Betty, they just took off in their walk with God. Now he's being used by God in his church back in California. All they wanted to do was play pickleball. Surprise. God had a much bigger plan for them. Here we have another couple that some of us know, John and Janice Wilson. And a lot of us know John. He was a ski patroller for over 40 years at Winter Park. A lot of people in the county knew John. Not at all believing in God at all. John was also a building contractor who built custom homes, built a lot of beautiful homes in Grand County. So him and his wife, Janice, decide to build a home for themselves. And, you know, we have a lot of beautiful lots in Grand County. You can build a home anywhere in Grand County. Where does he choose to build a home? Right next door to us. Right next door to us. So we're watching his house go, and we just don't know who's there. Lots of guys are there. And so after the house is built, we meet together in the yard, and John says, hi, I'm John. This is my wife, Janice. And he says, first thing he says is, I hear you're a pastor. And I said, yes. He goes, well, I'm the heathen that moved in next door to you. And he meant it. I'm the heathen that moved in. I said, that's okay with me, you know. And so we didn't talk a whole lot, and then he left, and, you know. And John will tell you, he was very critical towards Christians and even this church. And so after about a year, that next year, Janice found out that our messages are on the radio. We've been on the radio for 29 years and every message on Sunday. So she started listening quietly, didn't tell John. And God began to touch her heart. So after about a year, she says, John, I want to go over to Doug's church. Now, since they realize it's not my church, it's God's church. But that's what she said. Let's go over there. And John goes, oh, all right. So he comes over begrudgingly, and he told me, he says, I walked into the church. I'm handed this piece of paper. He never saw a bulletin. And he says, I sit down back over here, and he says, the screen comes down, and people come up with instruments. And he says, I'm thinking to myself, what's this dog and pony show that God has going on over here? Very critical. And he says, and then the people stand up, and the music starts, and I begin to cry, surprised by God. He had never sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit. And he got very uncomfortable. He didn't come back for weeks. He got scared. What was that there? And so a few weeks later, they have us over for dinner. And he starts asking me some things about the church and my life. And then all of a sudden, we're eating dinner, and that dining room gets filled with the presence of God. The presence of the Holy Spirit fell in a tangible way. And John and Janice looked at each other and said, we want to give our lives to Jesus Christ. And they gave their lives to the Lord. From that point on, took off. Now they're in Denver serving a church down there. We're part of our worship team for a while. Surprised by God, all he wanted to do is build a house. God had bigger plans for them, right? Isn't God awesome? Isn't he awesome? He's moving all the time, surprising us. I'll tell you one more story. A girl years ago, young woman, came into my office. We had an office in Fraser. Some of you know this story. But she came in. I'd never seen her before. She introduced herself as Rachel, and I said, hi. And she sits down, and the first thing out of her mouth, she says, I have one question for you. If there is a God, why won't he let me get pregnant? And so that started an hour conversation about God and his ways. And so she left and I learned that she had been raised by atheist parents. She was an atheist. They taught her not to believe in God or the supernatural. There is no supernatural. You are never to be so weak that you have to become dependent on something like that. Life is what you make it. Life is, you have to make your own life. So she was a high achiever. She married a husband who was pre-law, and they had their life planned, but she couldn't get pregnant. And so that started her on the hunt of why. And that led her to church. So after a couple of weeks after that, she came forward after church was over, and she came forward and she said, "Pastor Doug, I need to give my life to Jesus Christ." I said, "Great." So we did. God just transformed that young lady. Shocked her husband. A few weeks later, we were having a time of prayer with some people in the church, and she happened to come. And she prayed a prayer that moved me so deeply that I wrote it down after we were done. And here's what Rachel prayed that night. She said, "Lord, I wanted you to open my womb. Instead, you opened my mind and my heart to your word. Thank you for knowing what I truly needed and for the joy I've experienced in knowing you." Whew. Surprised by God. She didn't expect that. She wanted a baby. God gave her a new life. Isn't our God awesome? Well, the next year she got pregnant. And she had a baby. And then her husband started coming to church because he wanted to figure out what on earth was going on here. And then they moved. And then we didn't see him for years. We didn't see him for years. Then I got a Christmas card several years later from them. From her husband, "Pastor Doug, just want to thank you for teaching the Word of God and for your church and all that God did to us through you. And now I've given my life to Jesus Christ. And we are together involved in a church and God's doing great things in our life." And then at the very end, and by the way, we have three children. Is our God awesome or what? This is our God. We know He's going to answer prayer, but when He does, it surprises us. He's almighty. And that's what happened to Zechariah here. Galatians 4:4 said, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman." This is what the angel told Zechariah. He said, "Now you're going to be deaf, Zechariah, because you did not believe my words. And you're going to be deaf until the time comes when this will be fulfilled." God's got a timing for everything. And so Zechariah was dumb. He couldn't speak. Can you imagine him coming out of the temple and doing charades? I mean, he couldn't talk, and he's a big angel here and talking, and they knew he'd seen something, but they didn't know what had happened to him. So then you find here in verse 57 of Luke 1, it says, "Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth." Now, he hadn't said anything for 9 months. "And she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child." And that's also when they named the child, the children at that time. "And they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, 'No, he shall be called John.'" And by the way, you know what John means? God is gracious. Jesus came full of grace. "And they said to her, 'None of your relatives is called by this name.' And they made signs to the father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, 'His name is John.' And they all wondered, and immediately his mouth was opened." Now, can you imagine 9 months of wanting to say something? "And immediately his mouth was open and his tongue was loosed and he spoke, blessing God." The first things out of his mouth were not, "Phew, finally, you know, I can talk." No, that's not what he said. He was blessing God. "And fear came on all the neighbors, and all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, 'What then is this child to be? For the hand of the Lord is with him.'" Why do they say that? Because Zechariah had a word of prophecy over this son that we have accounted for right here in the next verse. "And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied." You talk about a change of plans for this couple? "And Zechariah said, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. So Zechariah is saying, God is fulfilling his word here. That we should be safe from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. Zechariah is saying, God's word is true, and he is fulfilling his word now after hundreds of years. And then the next verse, can you picture Zechariah here picking up his new baby John? And he's looking at him and he says, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. It's prophesy over this child. Everything changed for them. And the child grew and became strong in the spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. His name was John. His name was not John the Baptist. Because if his name was John the Baptist, his middle name would be The. And then he probably wouldn't like that. Okay? His name was John. And we call him John the Baptist because he baptized as a forerunner of Christ. Oh, what Zechariah said. You know, this Christmas, many are going to be surprised by God. Many are going to be surprised by God. Going through the normal Christmas celebration with children and grandchildren and trees and presents and Christmas carols, maybe a church attendance, but something is going to happen that'll open their eyes. They thought they were just going to go through another Christmas season, and they become Christians. I know many who have happened to during this time of the year. Something is going to surprise them. God is going to surprise them. Some of us that are praying for loved ones, you know, when God moves, you're going to go, whoa, God moved. He moved. I was just looking at Dick Romchak here. And Dick, I think you remember this. You may not. But years ago, a lady came to our church from out of town, out of state. She came forward afterward, and she had liver cancer. And they were, do you remember that, Dick? And we prayed for her right back here, you and I. She had liver cancer. And she was going in for a very serious surgery. Her prognosis was she wasn't going to live. And she just came here, and she says, will you pray for me? So Dick and I anointed her with oil and prayed for her. And then she left, and I didn't hear anything for months. Months later, she came back for one purpose, to come to our church and to come up to tell me that when they went back and they performed surgery, they found zero cancer in her. Zero. And she's totally healthy now. You know, we pray, and all of a sudden, oh, he answered that prayer. God does do that. Does he heal everyone here on earth right away? No. Because he has a timing for everything he does in our life. Many are going to be surprised this Christmas, and that's our prayer. Zechariah said, blessed be the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Isn't our God great? That's why we sing Joy to the World. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let's bow for prayer today, okay? And I pray that every heart here of every Christian would be encouraged to never give up on God, because he never gives up on us. He's always working. Even when it doesn't seem like he's answering prayers, he's always working according to his time and his purpose. And we worship him. We worship him for who he is. Lord God Almighty, thank you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that we can learn about you and your ways. Oh God, thank you that you're actively involved in our lives as your people. There was a time, Lord, when we were separated from you, a time when we didn't know you. We didn't care about the things of God. We were in the dark. But that moment came when our eyes were open. We saw Jesus in all of his glory. We became born again. new creations in Christ. And here we are today, still learning about you. Lord, I pray, and you know, I pray for each one here, and we pray for one another here this morning. You know the needs in every person's heart in this room. You know the cries of our heart. You know the things we struggle with. You know everything, Lord. Thank you that you are actively involved in our lives. Lord, have your way with us. May every heart be encouraged today to continue to follow you. Even when they may not see your hand around them, you are always there. And we thank you for this. And thank you that you are sovereign. You have a marvelous plan. And it's always for good. All things work for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And that's who you are. So let every heart take courage. Increase our faith and help our unbelief right now, Lord. Forgive us for ever having a bad attitude towards you, because you are such a good God. Thank you for this, Lord. And Lord, if there's anybody in this room or listening to this message by another means, Lord, if they've never embraced Christ as their Savior, maybe the light bulb's going on today. Maybe your word is making sense to them for the first time ever. This might be the day of you surprising them with a new life. And if there's anybody in this room and you sense God is drawing you, don't leave this room without coming and letting us pray with you today. Talk to you about what it means to be a follower of Christ. Oh God, we thank you. Father in heaven, now we pray your blessing, Lord, on this offering that we're about to receive for our missionaries. Thank you for this time every year, Lord, when we can bless them. Our missionaries are in some very desperate situations out there. But Lord, let them know that they're not alone, and let this gift just encourage their hearts. Thank you that we can be a small part of what you're doing in all these nations where we're supporting missionaries here. May your blessing be upon this offering. In Jesus' name, amen.